The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Yes, we must. We must take America back. This is Patrick Slattery filling in for John Stadtmiller today, filling in for the Intel Report. And this is a call-in show. It's a call-in show, 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. And that's really what it's all about, isn't it? Taking America back. So what's happened? What's happened? Our forefathers set up a country that, while not perfect, what is perfect, did pretty daggone well. It became the most powerful, most prosperous country in history. Wow, that's an accomplishment. That is something. Then something happened, and the way I look at it, I mean, there's a lot of things that happened, but the way I look at it is, you started getting a particular tribal group that has a particular tribal religion, and there were some of these people here from pretty much the beginning, but they started coming in larger numbers in the late 1800s. In a big wave of immigration, some of the immigrants might have taken some time, but from Ireland, Southern Europe, Eastern Europe, might have taken some time, but they managed to assimilate. But this one particular group didn't really assimilate. Rather, they, when I say they, not everybody, but a lot of them, enough of them, a disproportional amount of them, engaged in radicalism, tried to change society, so not to assimilate, but to transform society, to undermine the existing elite, not to join the elite, but to undermine it. And that created a lot of problems. It created all sorts of problems, and you did see a big backlash in, what was it, the 1923 Johnson something Act, Restrictive Immigration Act, that clamped down on immigration, set up a quota system. Yet there were enough here already, even though they're only maybe 3% of the population, you know who I'm talking about, 2-3% of the population, they had a lot of hardworking, aggressive, talented people, enough of them, but also wound up taking advantage of a particular weakness that the founders had, which is a desire to be fair. And, you know, it's not as if the founders, and the founding stock was basically from Great Britain, from the island of Great Britain, English, Scottish, Welsh, and then also, you know, the Scotch-Irish from Ulster, and, you know, some Dutch, but predominantly from Great Britain. And the founders, not that they were perfect, but they had a ideal of fairness, and you see it in the Constitution. And the Constitution's not perfect, but it does espouse this principle of fairness. And so this one particular group was really able to take advantage of this and gained control of the media. And you'll see, you look at the Marx Brothers movies, which are funny. It shows a lot of talent. It shows a lot of talent. And yet, those Marx Brothers movies, so many of them have this theme of making fun of the elite, of undermining the elite. And so the traditional elite was undermined, and you saw them use these narratives of unfairness. Oh, you're being unfair to blacks. Oh, you're being unfair to immigrants. Oh, you're being unfair to this, unfair to these people, unfair to those people. And they wound up taking power partly through like all sorts of means. There's a lot of things that were involved. And I'm talking about group behavior, and I'm not condemning individuals per se, but there are group dynamics, and the group dynamics is this one particular group of members of the tribe who see themselves as descendants of the Hebrews of the Bible. I'm talking about Jews. That their group behavior was to undermine the traditional people and the traditional values and the traditional elite of the United States. And they, it's hard to pin down a date, but by now in 2019, the elite is thoroughly dominated by Jews, and they're undermining especially traditional white Western values. So transgenderism, yes. Guns, no. They're fundamentally transforming the society, and we've got to take America back. What comes after that? I don't think there's a whole lot of point. We could get involved in all sorts of infighting by saying what comes after that. We don't know what's going to come after that. But whatever it is, we've got to take America back first. Then we're going to sort it out. What's going to be possible? What's going to be feasible? What's going to be fair? Because we do have a sense of fairness. And, you know, so I'm not calling for expulsions of anybody. Or I'm not calling for vengeance. I'm not calling for violence, for sure. No, I'm not calling for vengeance. But we must take America back. Once we take America back, then we can assess the situation and sort it out. I think the way we take America back is by being honest. It's difficult, but, you know, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 minutes into the program, then I feel comfortable saying, yeah, it's a Jewish elite. That it's a Jewish elite. And I think all we have to do is get to the point where enough people are comfortable talking about Jewish power, and we're used to talking about it, and we're good at talking about it in a way that isn't threatening. Because our people are fair. Our people are fair, and our people don't want to hear about pogroms. We don't want to hear about violence. We don't want to think about that. And the thing is, if we can talk about it, that power, the nefarious power that this group wields as a group, and I'm not talking about individuals, I'm talking as a group, it evaporates. It evaporates. When we're able to talk about it, when we're able to know about it, we're not going to Google. We don't have to Google. Google has enormous power, and they use it to advance tribal interests. Look at the elections. Look at what they did before the election of Trump. Look at what they did after the election of Trump. The media, Google, the rest of the media. There's no, if people associate Google and CNN and ABC and New York Times and, you know, so many other media outlets, when they start identifying them with a hostile alien power, which is what they are, we just don't have to look there. And if we don't look there, it takes away their power, right? If nobody Googles, Google has no power. And we don't have to Google. Mike from Indiana. Thank you for your call. Welcome to the show.
Good evening, Dr. Slattery.
Good evening, Mike.
I've got a point and a half to make. The half point is I want to gush that it's awesome to hear you on the radio at this time of night. And my other point is, being the father of a 5- and 6-year-old, I think that we all need to switch Democrat and vote for Beto.
Beto. So what's the logic there?
Well, things are only going to get worse if something doesn't happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you look on a logical progression of the timeline, slowly and slowly our rights, our freedoms are being chipped away. So if we vote for Beto, and Beto, it says, yes, I'm coming for your AR-15s and your AK-47s, if he's elected president and follows through on his campaign promise, what's going to happen after that?
Yeah, well, here's one thing. If he gets the Democratic nomination, don't you think Trump is a shoo-in?
That's a damn good question.
Is there any way that Beto...
Not necessarily.
Beto can beat Trump?
Because there is another... We've got another, 13 months to go of Trump failing up to live up to any of his promises.
Mm-hmm.
And only, you know, doing Netanyahu's bidding, basically. Which apparently is actually...
Netanyahu's
bidding, not even
in a week. Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, even if it's not Netanyahu, it's going to be, you know, Netanyahu 2.0.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be Benny Gantz. Benny Gantz, who is a general and all that. Not going to be the same boss. This new boss, same as the old boss.
Exactly, exactly. Roger Daltrey couldn't have said it better.
he could have, but he would have gotten it right the first time.
Oh, come on. He got it right. But yeah, I think there should be a massive push for Beto. Like, you know, so many of us were pushing for Andrew Yang because he was in a shadow way standing up for, you know, the evil white man who built our entire society. But, you know, Tulsi Gabbard's out. You know, she, even being CFR, she did have a slight modicum of intelligence in being anti-war, but, you know, let's get the acceleration of this thing going. You know, why drag it out? There's going to have to be a second war for American independence. Let's do it now. Let's have the blood on our hands, not our children.
I don't know how it would work.
It's not that hard.
Beto says he's going to go and pull your rifle back. Here's the thing. Beto says he is coming for your guns, right? Didn't he say that? He says, "Damn right I am." Wasn't there a line like that? I didn't watch much of the debate, but that's basically what he's saying.
And
the biggest applause line of the night. Yeah, I'm. You think I'm coming for your guns? Yeah, that's right, I am. I don't think there's any chance he'd get elected doing that, and I don't think. I mean, how can the whole gun thing? They can't come and get a gun. But they are getting people riled up. And you wonder, this is my question. Does anybody serious actually think they're going to come and get people's guns? I mean, I think a lot of people who talk about it believe that, but really among the top echelons, does anybody really ever believe that they're going to be able to come and take Americans' guns? And if they don't, then why are they talking about it? Is it just to get people riled up? This is a question. What do you think?
Well, your Zoomers and your Millennials definitely think that that's possible because they think, you know, the government is just this big, majestic, giant creature that can do whatever it wants. So if, you know, they vote for Beto and Beto says, let's get the guns, they think, with, you know, boom, right there, we're taking the guns. It doesn't really matter if it could actually be done in real life.
Yeah, think of the logistics.
They don't give a French word about logistics. You know, they have no We're talking about Zoomers and Millennials and liberals. They have no concept of logistics.
No, they don't. You're right.
It's irrelevant.
They don't. Because if you really think about it, so what can they do? So a lot of guns are registered, so they could come and knock on doors and say, we want this. Lots of guns aren't.
Well,
are they going to actually go into people's houses and look around? If a gun's registered and they knock on the door and somebody says, oh, I haven't had that gun for years, what are they going to do? Are they going to tear the house apart?
Well, I can tell you personally that I took all of my various assorted firearms and I disposed of them properly in a lawful manner because I definitely don't want to be a part of any kind of armed insurrection.
Well, so
I have
so
no
they
firearms
can't,
it, whatsoever.
There won't be any guns for them to take from you. But are
no,
they going to
not? No.
I mean, the logistics are impossible. But it is true that this is becoming, like, you know, so much of our politics is just the politics of the absurd. You know, so really the notion that they actually could come and seize everybody's guns or even seize everybody's AR-15s, it's absurd. It's completely absurd. And just think of the Green New Deal, which I've called a week ago I thought of the Green Leap. Now I'm thinking maybe it should be called the Anti-White New Deal, but it's completely unrealistic. So much of the politics is the politics of the impossible and of the absurd. And then it begs the question: well, why is it just that people have become? Is it that real people in real positions of power have become that absurd? Because that does happen. I mean, Mao became completely detached from reality. Or is it that they want us to be all riled up about things that can't happen so that they can get away with other things? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, when you go back to the summer of 2014, you know, when they had the riots just outside St. Louis, what was that?
Ferguson.
Ferguson, right, thank you. It was Ferguson. You know, George Soros invested a lot of money, and they were trying to get, you know, some sort of civil interaction started at that point. And I really believe that they've been trying to somehow get some sort of civil insurrection going. They can use that as an excuse to come in and have a quote-unquote legitimate reason to confiscate all the firearms. So, you know, you've got to fight fire with fire. If they're being absurd and ridiculous, then how do you counter that? Because you can't counter emotion with logic. You can only counter emotion with emotion. Now, you're never going to get through someone making an emotional argument. And, you know, if you watch the Alyssa Milano and Ted Cruz debate, it was really good. You know, it's worth your hour and 14 minutes to watch that. Because, you know, she opens up on all this emotional, you know, French word, and he counters her with all this logic, and it doesn't really get through to her so much. But the two males that were with her in the discussion, they actually sort of understood what was going on. But, you know, with Beto being basically, you know, he's deathly cuckolded. You know, he is almost an alpha female. The only way to get through to him and anyone that support him, if he does become the nominee, is through an illogical, irrational, emotional display.
Uh-huh.
So let's go for it. Let's go full accelerationist and let them have what they want. Get it over with.
Could be. You know, there is an accelerationist aspect of having them nominate, having the Democrats nominate somebody who's going to say such absurd things as Beto, even if Trump winds up being reelected. Okay, well, thank you for your call, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Republic Broadcasting Network depends on listener support of our advertisers and of our sponsors. We'd like to especially thank all of you who have taken advantage of our fundraiser with FrontSight Bonus. Those who are now FrontSight members, please train as soon as possible for your sake and for that of our nation. And please consider sharing your training and what you've learned when you arrive home. Republic Broadcasting Network has to stop promoting this fundraiser on air and on the website in just a few days. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, president of FrontSight, made a gracious exception to his no-media rule for us at Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, Dr. Piazza. And once you've been to FrontSight, feel free to call your favorite host and share your experience on the air. We can continue this fundraiser without media help, but it'll be totally up to the listeners to spread the information. Please call Dan Sutterfield in Missouri at 573-465-2356, 573-465-2356. That's 573-465-2356.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Thinking about it lately, been watching some TV, been looking all around me, and what has come to be, been talking to my neighbor.
We are back. He agrees with me. We are back to the National Intel Report with Patrick Slattery filling in for John Stat Miller, and we've got Frank from North Carolina. Frank, what's on your mind this evening?
Well, I'm just sitting here cleaning my gas mask, and I was just flipping through the channels, and I heard your voice, and I was like, what is
this? What kind of gas mask do you have?
It's a never-issued surplus military gas mask.
I got a surplus, a couple of surplus Israeli gas masks. I don't know how to use them because the instructions were in Hebrew.
Well, you better figure it out.
They probably don't work anymore.
Yeah, you need to get the kind that works. But I actually shoot better. I always shot better with a gas mask on, believe it or not. And in the Marines, we did a lot of training with the gas mask and the mop suits, mission-oriented protective posture suits. In July and August at Camp Lejeune, it was a good cleansing. But it's funny. I actually did used to shoot better with a gas mask, and I won't get into why. But anyway, something about the sight radius, I think. But I was listening to your opening statement, and You know, I mentioned this to you the other day on the other show, and you know, we always have to remind people, because a lot of people don't know, the new people don't know, because when I used to start, I was fighting with people on the internet back when, you know, when I was involved in social media and doing a lot of research, trying to figure it all out, back in the mid-2000s, you know, I used to fight these people that talked about Zionism and the Jews. You know, I didn't believe it. And one day, I don't even remember why I did this, but I said, you know what, I'm going to start tracking the people, say that an Alex Jones and these other people that I listen to talk about, and I'm going to start doing what I called a bio check, like a biography. And I would go, and most of these people, you know, they're, you know, people, you know, a who's who of, you know, people in their fields. You could find a biography on them, and you go down to their personal section, and usually you could find out that they were Jewish. And then sometimes, every now and then, you couldn't, and then you might find something later on from another source that you might find. But what I found a lot, too, if you couldn't determine whether or not they were Jewish, a lot of times they were married to Jews. Mm-hmm. But I started finding out that most of the people that were the bad guys, the movers and shakers, were Jewish. So that begged the question. Can you guess what that question was? What percentage of the population are Jews? Because I'm like, wow, these people must make up a very large percentage of the population. I really didn't know it. I'd never known Jews. I guess I didn't run in those circles too much, or the ones, you know, I guess they kind of kept it in the closet or whatever. But and then I found out, the first thing I found was that they had pretty much, you know, made up about 1%, and then I found something that said 2%. And so I settled pretty much on, you know, roughly they'd never made up more than 2% of the population of the United States and less than 1% of the population of the world. And I was like, wow, maybe these guys aren't full of it. Maybe they're on to something. So I kept checking and kept checking, and I started, you know, doing all kinds of research into it. But I think we need to always make that point. These people aren't like, you know, Catholics that make up, you know, whatever X percentage of the population. This is a tiny group of people that control everything, pretty much. And you and Dr. Duke talk about it quite often, that these people are overrepresented in places like the Ivy League colleges and whatnot, based on their own qualifications. They are overrepresented. It's not their merit that gets them into these positions. It is a tribal situation that we're dealing with here. They work to get each other into power to further the interest of what I like to call, I don't like the word Zionism too much, I call it organized Jewry.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically runs America. I mean, we are living under Zog. This is a Zionist-occupied government. And I guess you heard that Trump is saying he doesn't care that they're spying on him. He said, well, you know, I don't believe it. I'm a friend of Israel. So nothing's going to be done on this. And if it was Iran, if he found out that Iran or some other country had been spying on him, mm-hmm. then it would be sanctions at the very least.
We'll probably give
more to Israel.
Yeah, so putting Trump aside, just look what happened to the rest of the political establishment. Look how much they freaked out at the thought of somebody with a Russian passport buying $40,000 worth of Facebook ads, and the entire our entire political process went into convulsions. And yet, Israelis would be spying on us. Who cares? Have they ever spied on us? Well, of course they have. Look at Jonathan Pollard. There have been all these reports about, hey, you want to hang on until the other side?
Sure.
Going to the break. We'll be right back.
While you were sleeping, they came and took it all away.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, this is very important information. What's to be said about CBD? AncientLifeOil.com. Our CBD is made from hemp and has 0.003 THC, which means this wonderful product won't get you high, no matter what amount you take. What does CBD do for the body? My hands are tied, but you can Google CBD benefits and be astounded. When you're finished reading, you'll want to log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. And purchase. Life is good when you feel good. People are tired of pain. People are asking for non-GMO organic products to help them with, you fill in the blank. Legal in 49 states, and again, our CBD is made from hemp. Ancient Life Oil is about helping people, one by one by one. If you wonder how good the product is, the CEO takes it every day without miss. AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Have a great day.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
back to the show, the National Intel Report with Patrick Slattery filling in for John Stadtmiller. And we have Frank from North Carolina. You're still with us, Frank.
Yes, I am, and I appreciate you holding me over. I'll go ahead and get out of the way here in a moment, but I wrote down a note during the break so I could be concise. I'm sure you probably have other callers and a lot more to say.
Go right ahead.
Okay. I think the most interesting thing that I found about the power of organized jewelry is that most people, most everyday Americans, don't know about Jewish power. I was 40 years old, and I am considered above average IQ. I spent 4 years in college. I've been around the world. I've been to Israel a couple times in my youth, and I just find that fascinating. And here's the other thing, the second part of it. When you do find out about Jewish power, if you speak of it, you're immediately labeled an anti-Semite and a hater and the most horrible person in the world, and they come after you.
Mm-hmm. You know, I learned about Jewish power slowly and gradually, but by the early 1990s, I was extremely alarmed at their power. And yet, I didn't know for another maybe 20 years until I started really reading Jewish Supremacism by Dr. Duke, that it's not just that they're seeking power for themselves, but that they are deliberately trying to undermine the non-Jewish whites, the white European Americans or Europeans whom they see as their main competitors. And, you know, you talk about organized Jewry, and organized Jewry, that is a good term, as opposed to Zionism, which, you know, Zionism means some different things to different people, so it's a little, maybe it's not specific enough. And organized Jewry is a good term because they do have a lot of organization. The one weakness with that term is that there's also unorganized Jewry that has, I mean, there's a role being played in an unorganized way. Their group tendencies, their, you know, the religion. There's a lot of aspects that actually go beyond their organization. But and that, it makes it hard to talk about. It makes it hard to talk about because it's a hard entity just to describe. But anyway,
I think tactically, I think speaking of just tactics, when you use the term organized Jewry, it seems to kind of catch people off guard, and their defenses don't go up quite as quickly. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you. I sometimes wonder if there's not an otherworldly aspect to this or something in the DNA, because they seem to just know without even getting orders from headquarters or central command. They just seem to do what they do and be everywhere they need to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To further the cause.
So there is a lot of organization there, and there's a big umbrella group, Council of Presidents of Major Jewish Organizations. Of course, there's the State of Israel. So there's a lot of organization, but there's also just, there are tendencies. And if you talk about DNA, then people are going to think, oh, well, if you're saying it's the DNA, then you must want to exterminate them all. No. That's not the point. But, you know, Dr. Duke always talks about breeds of dogs. Different breeds of dogs have different personalities. So, of course, DNA can have a role in these things. And he's actually Jewish himself, grew up in an Orthodox family. Sapolsky, and he is a geneticist at Berkeley, and he's done all of these tests with rodents and also with primates. And for instance, rodents, rats or mice in a cage, if you have like dozens and dozens of them in a cage, they know who their close relatives are. They will nest with, first cousins or second cousins more than they would with, white mice that aren't related to them. There's something innate. There's something that they can tell. And the same with, you see it in chimpanzee tribes, that chimpanzees seem to know who their brothers and cousins are, and they favor them. Is it a surprise? Should it be a surprise? No. And of course, you know, there are personality traits. I do think that there's a tendency towards paranoia, and we know certain groups are more subject to certain mental illnesses. And, you know, think of Woody Allen, and he makes all these jokes about neuroses, you know, the Jews and their analysts and whatnot. So there's something there, and I don't want to be seen as or thought of as trying to condemn them all, but what I want to do is understand what's going on, and what's going on isn't right, and the only way we're going to rectify it is by understanding it.
Well, the interest of organized Jewry and the interest of us are not the same. It is not a symbiotic relationship.
It's not.
It's a parasitic relationship, and it's very destructive to the host, and we're going to see that more and more. But they are still in such small numbers, but they have such utter control of the media, academia, and everything else. I mean, they got the police in their back pocket, the FBI, all that. But, you know, Brother Nathaniel Kapner, who's a racial Jew, he says he can he can recognize a Jew from 100 feet away. He said he can recognize a Jew at a distance just from the way they walk, for example. So what you're saying about the
rats... Yeah, that's the thing with Judar. And the Jews have better Judar than we do. But it's not infallible.
Okay, I'll get out of your way.
They do. And that plays into it. Because they can identify each other better than we can. We can't identify each other. We can't identify them. They can identify each other, and that gives them a hand up. That gives them a leg up. Okay. You have anything else to say before I go to my next caller? All right. So I'm just going to give out our number one more time, 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. Laura from Michigan, welcome to the show.
Hello, Dr. Slattery. I'm glad to hear you tonight. I got two quick things to talk to you about. Number one, the campaign I'd like to see is that women will not shop at gun-free stores because it's too dangerous.
Okay.
Like women will not shop gun-free stores. Our local grocery store stops selling guns in it. Open carry, so I like to see women stop shopping at gun-free stores because that's how the shootings happen at gun-free spots.
Okay. And
okay.
The second thing is,
you guys are all confused about the Jews. Until you know who the Kenites are, K-E-N-I-T-E-S, Kenites. And you can ask Rick Adams, you can ask Dr. Hill, you can ask shepherdschapel.com. Until you understand who the Kenites are, you're not going to understand this whole Jewish thing. It'll all fall into place. But you need to look up the Kenites. It's the offspring of Cain. You see the Jews admitted they have different DNA. So what is their DNA? Their DNA is Lucifer's DNA from Cain. So I'll just leave it at that. But people have to do their own homework on that. And once I understood it, everything fell into place. I understood everything that was going on.
Okay. Well, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see. I won't say I know a lot about Kenites. I can see that they were a group in biblical times, a group. I don't know. I mean, I think my understanding of what's going on is actually pretty good. Who's to say? Okay, so the phone lines, are they open now? They are open. And that number, if you want to call, is 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. There's been so much written about Jews, and nowadays it's primarily written by Jews. They write about themselves because pretty much everybody else is afraid to write about them. To the extent they do write about them, it's going to be in glowing terms about how smart they are or how wonderful they are. That's kind of sad. But they write about themselves a lot, then historically. And they are it is a very, very, very interesting group because it is very difficult to find any group, and some people might disagree with this, but any group that can trace their lineage back so far. Not impossible, but it's difficult. Now, there is the whole controversy over whether the people calling themselves Jews today, the people who are identified as Jews today, are they really descended from the Hebrews of the Bible? And there's a lot of DNA evidence that would indicate that they are indeed largely descended from the Hebrews of the Bible, with a certain amount of admixture. But a certain amount, a significant amount, but a surprisingly small amount of admixture, given the that they would have been in the diaspora for 2,000 years, in 2,000 years? How many generations? Is that 80 generations? If you're going to say 25 years per generation, is it 80 generations? If you were to have just like 1% admixture per year, per generation, that original founding DNA would be pretty watered down by now. And it's not that watered down. So it would be as if there seems to be an inflow of less than 1% per generation, which is amazing. And of course, if you look around today, there's a lot more than 1% today. Today there's and a lot of Jews, a lot of Israelis are alarmed at it, and they're talking about it as some sort of demographic threat to them, that there is as much intermarriage between Jews and non-Jews as there is. But it would seem that in most of these 80 generations that have gone by, that to the extent there was any intermarriage, the resulting offspring were not, they wound up leaving the tribe. They didn't contribute. It was as if there was a one-way valve of DNA out from the Jews, not into the Jews. So it's very interesting. They've been around for so long. And what else is interesting? Because even you think of you think of the British, for instance, and you know a lot of British people would want to think that they can trace themselves back to the people who built Stonehenge. But when you get down to it, you know, the people who built Stonehenge were largely replaced by the Beaker people, the Indo-European Beaker people, and you had the Celts, and then the Celts were largely replaced by the Angles and the Saxons, and then you had Vikings come in, then you had the Norman French come in. There's a lot of change. And if you look at other countries, even if you look at isolated places like Japan, which is pretty isolated, to trace back the 3,000 years, because, you know, the Jews were around a long time, the Hebrews were around a long time before Jesus' time, it's pretty outstanding. And what else is outstanding, what is remarkable, is that so much of what people have been writing, you know, whether you're talking about Martin Luther, you're talking about all these people from history, a lot of the traits that they write about are identifiable today. That there seems to be so much consistency in the way Jews interact with the people around them. Now, I'm not going to go too far back into biblical times because I'm not a religious person. A lot of people are religious, and I don't think there's too much point in going back that far for my purposes now. But even if you're just to be looking back centuries rather than millennia, it's remarkable how much consistency there is in the description of the relationship between Jews and their host populations. And of course, if we're only talking about centuries, for the most part, we're talking about diaspora minorities living amongst larger host populations. So they're a remarkable people, but they have, and a lot of Jews have written about the ascendancy of their people in the 20th century. Books, you know, with titles such as, you know, The Jewish Century, An Empire of Their Own. They're very conscious about it. They write about it, and it is a remarkable phenomenon. And if Jews had taken over society and were really good at running it, that would be one thing, right? And you could think about that. Are they really good at running it? But really, if we're going to be objective and we look around at the past 100 years, look around at the past 10 or 20 years, are they really good at running society? I mean, look at all the massive wars we have. Look at the demographic replacement that's going on in the United States and in Europe. And it's even starting in Japan, even starting in South Korea. Are they doing a good job? And we're not able to cooperate on anything. We're not able to come to any consensus about anything. Whether, you know, we've got massive environmental problems. Nowadays, everybody is trying to everything. Well, we're going to call in 1-800-313-9. Back after.
Learning to fly around the clouds. What goes up must come down.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Soon you will be dancing face to face with the limits of ambition and the scars of the marketplace.
To the National Intel Report with Patrick Slattery, filling in for John Stadtmiller. It's a call-in show, 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. Tony from Chicago, welcome to the show.
Yeah, Patrick, as long as the topic is the Jews.
And it's the real Tony. The real
yeah,
deal.
That's me, the real one. Are you aware that these people are so brazen that I was stunned when I heard this. They're actually planning. I mean, they're actually proposing, and they're trying to push this with, you know, with the King of Jordan and the you know, and the head of the royal family in Saudi Arabia. They're actually, I mean, this is out in the open. They're talking with them over this. They're not getting their way. They want to take that Al-Aqsa Mosque. Mm-hmm. They actually want to cut it all up. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Have you know, the best guys in the world go there and, you know, take that thing apart very carefully and then take it to Mecca, Saudi Arabia, reassemble it, and then they could put their third temple up there. And then once they have their third temple, they're at the UN talking about this openly. And they're not hiding this. They're in the UN. Michelle Bachmann, you know, that crackpot congressman from Minneapolis, she's there, you know, networking with them. And they'll get their third temple. And then what they want to do, they want to move the world court, which, you know, I'm totally against the Hague, to the Israeli Supreme Court building, which I've always been, you know, very into because of the Green Pyramid on the back of the dollar and the Rothschilds who built it. And they want to move the UN to Jerusalem. Do you realize that they're actually, I don't think you've caught wind of this. They're actually openly talking about this at the United Nations. It's all out and open. It doesn't get much play. Were you privy to any of this?
No, but, you know, what you say sounds reasonable, and I don't expect it to happen anytime soon, but that doesn't mean it couldn't happen eventually, and these people, they have a very long timeline, and so that's very interesting.
This is what's in their little Junak. You know, if you go to No More News, okay, on YouTube.
Adam, what's his name? Adam Green?
Adam Green.
Very good. He is great.
If you go to his, it's the third one, The Theology of Jared Kushner and Avi Berkowitz. If you go to 59 minutes, okay, mm-hmm. He has two 9/11 ones up there, but you go to 59 minutes and cut through the chase on Avi and Jared. That's when he exposes all this. And like I said, this is not being hidden. It's all out there. And then once they get this, okay, they want to voluntarily, okay, this is a voluntary thing, put the entire human race, the Goyim, under the Noahide laws, okay, and the first Noahide law, in a way, I kind of agree with it, is that, you know, anybody that worships false idols, which is Jesus Christ, you will get the guillotine. You'll be executed.
All right. Hey, we're at the end of this segment. If you have more to say, you can stick around. Do you want to stick around?
Yeah, I'll hold me over for just a couple seconds, and I'll hang on a couple minutes.
All right. We'll be right back.
Take America back. We must take America back.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, domedan at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.